Oh, right.
Now we're holding on page Vov in Yerushalmi Shkolim, beginning Eloheinu Amorim Perek Chamishim. Since the Masechta talks about the collection of Matzah Shekel, so it all kind of digresses through part of the Masechta to talk about different things about the operations of the Beis Hamikdash. Now the daily order of the Talmid, that's in a different Masechta, Masechta Talmid, but here it goes into describing some of the finances and the operations of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Mishnah starts by saying, your Mishnah Rishona, Ve'elohem ha'mamunim shayu oisin b'mikdash. The following were the officers, the overseers, whatever you want to call them, that were in the Beis Hamikdash, who were in charge of different things. So altogether, the Mishnah lists 15 of them. Not all of them are here in Ein Yaakov, but it has some of them. Yochanan ben Pinchas ala chaysamos. Yochanan ben Pinchas was, and we're going to, and the Gemara talks about where these names come from. Were they the original holders of these offices? We'll talk about that soon. So Yochanan ben Pinchas was in charge of the chaysamos, of the stamps, of the vouchers. Later, Mishnayos and the Perek describe like this: a person brings a korban, an oila, shlomim, certain other kinds of karbonis, they have to bring the sochim with them, of flour, wine, and oil. Now, mail of the animal, a person can go buy an animal from anywhere and bring it, and all they have to do is check whether it has a mum or not. And if it doesn't have a mum, then we're good. But when it comes to the flour, wine, and oil, those have to be prepared al taras hakodesh. Those have to be prepared to the standards of kodesh, very high standards of tara, and most people are not familiar with that. So they set up a system in the Beis Hamikdash where you would go to this Yochanan and Pinchas and pay him money and get basically a voucher that says you're entitled to X amount of nesachim, a certain amount for cattle, a certain amount for ram, etc., according to the amounts that it says in the Torah. Then you would go to the next fellow mentioned over here in the Mishnah, Achia ala Slosis, Achia, who was in charge of the flour. In the Mishnayos and in the printed Mishnayos, instead the Girsa is Alan Nesachim, that he was in charge of the Nesachim. So you would go to him, you would give him the stamped voucher, and you would get your amount of flour and wine and oil that you need for your korban. Each one of these memunim, by the way, had various other people working underneath him. Achia, Yochanan ben Pinchas, for example, you don't just have him managing the office to collect the money and give out the vouchers. You had a whole team that was working under him. And the same thing with Achia, and the same thing with the rest of them. Next, Maskev ben Shmuel ala Piosis. Maskev ben Shmuel was in charge of the pious. Mishnah tells us in Yuma that four times a day they would have a pious. They would have all the kohenim stand in a circle and do a finger count to see who's going to do the various avodas. So there was someone in charge of that. His name was Maskev ben Shmuel. Next, Psachia ala Kinin. Psachia was in charge of the Kinin. Now that meant two things. First of all, you have people, a cane means a nest, so it means a pair of birds. Many times a person has to bring two birds as a korban, typically one chatas and one oila. A woman who's poor and gave birth, a zav, a zava, there's various other examples where a person has to bring two birds as a korban. So first of all, what you had is, later on in the Masechta, it describes there were a bunch of pushkas in the Beis Mikdash, a bunch of shofaris, as the Mishnah calls them, because they were shaped kind of like a shofar in that they're narrow on top and wide on bottom. But anyway, they were basically pushkas. And one of them was labeled kinin, which is a person needs to bring two birds like that. Instead of having to bring the actual two birds, they could instead put money enough for the two birds into that box. And one of Psachia's jobs then is to make sure that by the end of the day, all the money in that box has been used to buy birds for korbanos, and the korbanos have been brought because people need them. For example, a woman put in that money into the box, she needs those korbanos. That korban needs to be brought before she's allowed to eat kodshim or enter the Beis Hamikdash. So they need to make sure it gets done. So that was one of his jobs. The other part of his job was, and this is the Gemara is going to focus on more, is he also had to be a great linguist, because a lot of times people would bring their actual money or their actual birds, and they might explain themselves in a way that's very difficult for the average person to understand. But Psachia, being identical with Mordechai, he was an expert in all the languages, so he would be able to decipher these kinds of things. Part of that also included, by the way, you have a Masechta Mishnayos, one of the most difficult Masechtas, called Masechta Kinim, which deals with all kinds of cases. cases where you have mix-ups among the birds, you can have, unlike animals, which don't, you know, it's more easy to keep them in a corral and keep them from wandering around. Birds can easily flit around from one place to another. So you have a masechta over there that deals with all kinds of complicated things that happen when you have birds mixed up that were supposed to be some for chatas, some for ola, and all the different permutations. So Psachia's job was also to straighten out those kinds of situations. Anyway, Psachia zem Mordechai. So he's identical with Mordechai from the Megillah. He was able to open up things and darshan them, meaning, as the Gemara is going to give several examples, where he was able to, he had very obscure statements that people would make, and he was able to figure them out via Deir B'Shivim Loshan, and he knew all 70 languages. Which, by the way, elsewhere, the Gemara talks about that all the members of the Sanhedrin had to know the languages. Our Gemara is going to say a little differently, but the Tosfos actually discusses it in one of the places in the Bavli where this point is brought. And Tosfos says the vort is not so much that he knew all the languages. Many members of the Sanhedrin did. His specialty was you have a pasuk in Ezra and in Nehemiah that calls him Mordechai Bilshan. And the word Bilshan comes from the words Bayil Lishni. He knew how to mix languages. So you could have somebody could say something to him partly in one language and partly in another, and he would know how to figure out what they're talking about. That was his special talent, which the other members of the Sanhedrin did not necessarily have. There's a famous vort, by the way, that says on it that this is what saying Psachia Zemordechai relate that there's a famous vort that relates it to a pasuk. Your beginning will be very small, and your end will grow very great. If we look at the mathematical relationship between the names Psachia and Mordechai, so we start out with Mem is 40, He is 80, so it's half, it's smaller. Resh from Mordechai is 200. The corresponding letter in Psachia is a Tav, 400. And the same thing, Dalet and Ches. So the beginning, when it comes to Mordechai, is small. But then Vacharischa, then the end, Yiske Ma'od, is very great because the Chof of Mordechai is twice the Yud of Psachia, and the Yud of Mordechai is twice the He of Psachia. So within that name itself, you have this the idea of that Pasuk Express. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. Ben Achia chole me'ayim. Ben Achia was in charge of stomach aches. He was the doctor on staff in the Bis Mikdash. And again, he had a whole bunch of physician assistants and whatever you have, like in a doctor's office nowadays, working underneath him. Why they needed that, the Gemara explains. You think about it. The Kohenim were wearing only four begodim. In particular, most of their body is covered only with a ksoines. They're walking barefoot. When they're on duty in the Bis Mikdash, they're eating lots of meat from the korbanos. They're drinking water because they can't drink wine while they're serving in the Bis Mikdash. So they would tend to get stomach aches. So Achia, this Ben Achia, knew in particular, the Gemara mentions that he knew particularly what kinds of wines are good for what kinds of stomach upsets, and he would treat them accordingly with wines and various medicines. The what? 10 nisim, yeah.
You could make another nest.
Couldn't make another nest. They shouldn't get stomach aches, basically. I don't know. anyway, Nechunya Choyfashichin. Nechunya was in charge of digging ditches. They needed a water supply for the Bis Mikdash, specifically for Yerushalayim in general, especially for all the Olei Regel. So his job, as the Gemara is going to say, he was a specialist. All these people were specialists in their field. So Nechunya was a specialist in knowing where to dig and to find water. Gvini Koroz. Gvini was the announcer, whereas the Gemara is going to go and explain. He was the one. Every morning, you had to have somebody announce in a really loud voice, it's time for the Kohenim, Levim, and Yisraelim to come to their respective stations in this Mikdash. The Kohenim to do the Avodah, the Levim to be on the Duchan, to sing and play the instruments, and the Yisraelim, the members of the Anshe Maimed, to be there. So you needed somebody with a particularly loud voice, and his name was Gvini, and he would make these announcements. Chula, and there's others. Ben Bevai ala Pakia v'chula. Another one it mentions in the Mishnah is Ben Bevai was in charge of the Pakia. Now, there's two possibilities what Pakia means. Here in our Gemara, in the Yerushalmi, it's going to end up explaining that it means he was in charge of making the wicks for the Bis Mikdash. Every day they needed seven new wicks for the Menorah, so he was in charge of making sure that the wicks were made the right size and shape. You also had, for example, like this, the Gemara mentions, the Bavli mentions in Menachos, that every day they would use a half lug of oil for each lamp of the menorah. Now, on a short summer's night, you're not going to necessarily have enough time for all of that oil to burn up. And during the Chachamim figured out the Pashtus already in Moshe Rabbeinu's times that the longest night you're ever going to need in Tkufas Tevis, you need a half a lug. And then during the rest of the year, if some is left over, then fine, so be it. But Ben Bevai was in charge. For example, he could make the wicks thicker and thinner different times during the year to make it take up more or less oil so that the oil will get properly used up. That's one possibility. The Bavli mentions that possibility. The Bavli in Yuma mentions this possibility, but rejects that and says that Ben Bevei Alapakia means he was in charge of the whip. You have at the beginning of Masechta Midas, it describes that you have the Ish Harabayis who would circulate around among all the Mishmaras of Koyanim and Leviim who are standing guard in the Beis Mikdash by night. And if he saw that any of them was falling, whether it was asleep, then and he tells him Shalom Aleichem, and the guy doesn't respond, then Choyv to B'makla, he would thrash him with a stick. So then the Gemara says that's the Pakia over here, was a whip that he would give the guy a zetz with to wake him up. There is, by the way, a very fascinating explanation from Rav Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, on that Mishnah, about many, many details in that Mishnah. One thing he points out is the Leviim have the Leviim, being that they're associated with Gevura, they have the job of making sure, part of the job of Gevura is to make sure that Chesed, that the Ashpa from the Eibishter doesn't go where it's not supposed to go. So they have the job, therefore, of guarding the Beis Hamikdash and preventing any klippas from getting in. So if a Levi is asleep, meaning that he's missing his bina, which is where Gevura comes from, then the Isha Abayas tells him, Shalom Alecha, is at least your bina above you in a makiftik way? And if not, then he whacks him with a stick, and that restores him his bina. And yeah, the Reb Levik has a long, long arichus over there with all kinds of details about many different details in that Mishnah. So Ben Bevei, so according to the Bavli, then Ben Bevei was in charge of that, whereas according to the Rishami, he was in charge of making wicks for the Minerva. Okay, so let's focus on, now, where do these names come from? The Gemara goes on to mention, it's not here, in Ein Yaakov, there's two opinions. One is that these are the first people who held these jobs in the second Beis Hamikdash. So for example, in the second Beis Hamikdash, the one in charge of the Kinim was Mordechai. He came up from Shushan, he came to Eretz Yisrael. He's mentioned in the list of the leaders of the Jewish people in Ezra and in Nehemiah. So he was given the job ala Kinim. And then, so the Mishnah is listing who had each of these jobs at that time when the second Beis Hamikdash was built. The other opinion in the Gemara is Kshere Dur V'Dur. It's listing from each position who was the most kosher, who was within each position. You had over the 420 years of the second Beis Hamikdash, you must have had many people filled each position. Which one was the most kosher out of all of them? And he's the one whose name gets to be memorialized in the Mishnah. There is an interesting explanation that actually kind of combines the two, that says what they did was they had, the, for example, with Psachya Alakinim, the first one was actually named Psachya. The second one, when Mordechai passed away, there would be somebody else took over the job, but they would give whatever his name was, that he was given by his bris, his title as Alakinim would be Psachya. And the same thing with Ben Achia, and the same thing with each of the other ones, so that it's both. In other words, it's the first one as well as the Kshedim of each generation. Anyway, so Psachya Alakinim, let's focus on him. Tony, Psachya Zemordechai. So we learn in a Braisa again that Psachya Zemordechai. Boyere Kamagodo Koyach Shal Oysa Ish. Come see how powerful, what a tremendous Koyach in languages that he had. Shepeseach Dvorim Vidurshon. That, as the Mishnah said, he's able to unlock things and doushin them. Viyadeh B'shivim Loshon. And then he knows all 70 languages, and again, not just knows them fluently, but that he knows how to mix, and he knows how to mix with mixtures of different languages to be able to figure out what's going on. So the Gemara says, Tony, we learn in a Braisa, when you have a city where there are two people in it who are capable of speaking the 70 languages, and all of them are capable of understanding the languages. Now, of course, as we all know, it's possible to understand a language and still not be able to speak it. So all the members of the Sanhedrin had to know all the languages, and the reason is, as the Gemara explains in a few places, Sanhedrin, you can't have, when Edom are going to come in front of the Beis Din, that they should have to go through an interpreter. Because inevitably, that's going to distort something of what the Edim said. So they have to be able to know whatever language the Ed is going to be speaking in, the Sanhedrin has to be able to understand him. But to be able to speak, not necessarily all of them have to. So, Harezu Ru'uyala Sanhedrin. So such a city is suitable to have a Sanhedrin, because now they have enough people of the caliber to be, at least as far as that detail, that they're capable of having a Sanhedrin. Shloisha Harezu Beinanis. If you have three people in the city who know how to speak all the languages, then that's an average city. When you have four of them, then that's exceptional. Then that's an exceptionally wise basting. In fact, in the Sanhedrin in Yavna, after the Churban, there were four people like that who knew all the languages. Ben Azeo, who knew how to speak them. Ben Azeo, Ben Zerma, Ben Masya, Ben Chachinai. And so the Gemara gives some examples of what happened with Psachia Zemordechai, how he was able to how he was able to understand things that nobody else could. So the Gemara tells a story. It's also the Bavli also tells it in Menachos. Pamachas Yovsha Eretz Yisrael. One time there was a drought in Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't know where they're going to bring the barley for the Korban Omer. Usually they would bring it from the fields close to Yerushalayim. The Bavli, actually, when it tells the story, mentions it, and it mentions a different reason why there was no barley available. It mentions this was at the time of the civil war between the two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. The Bavli tells the story in a few places. They were in Menachos, and Bava Kamma, etc., about there were two brothers from the later Chashmonaim who were fighting between themselves which one is going to be the king. And Josephus tells the story in much, much greater detail. Anyway, Bekitzer, between the armies fighting one against the other, the fields all around Yerushalayim were devastated. But here the Yerushalmi is saying it's not even so much that. Maybe the armies would have Akaponim, they were, no matter what, even though they were Tzedukim, they were whatever, they still would have realized the importance of bringing the Korban Omer, and they would have made sure to leave some area available. But then there was a drought on top of that, and therefore, so there was nothing available. So they didn't know where they were going to bring the Omer. So there was a mute man. He couldn't speak, but he was putting one hand on a roof and the other hand on a hut. Tzrif is like a little conical, a little cone-shaped hut that people would use like when they're hunting or whatever, they would use as a temporary place to live. So they didn't know what he's getting at. I soon came to Psachia, so they brought him to Psachia to find out what he's talking about. Omalahu, so Psachia understands, and he asks him, "Is Asad Mikri Gagos Tzrifin or Tzrifin Gagos? Is there any place that you know of in Eretz Yisrael named Gagos Tzrifin or Tzrifin Gagos?" That's what he's hinting at, Gagos and Tzrifin. Oslul Taman, sure enough, they knew of a place called Gagos Tzrifin in Vashkuchun, and sure enough, they found barley there, and they were able to bring the Korban Omer. There is, by the way, a place fairly near Kfar Chabad called, there's a town there called Srifin, and nowadays there's an Israeli army base over there. There used to be a village there in the times of the Gemara called Srifin. Some say that is the Gagas Srifin of our story over here. So in that case, then that year, they brought the Korban Omer from the area near Kfar Chabad. Now you think of it nowadays, and nowadays it's an hour's drive from there to Yerushalayim if there's no traffic, but back then it must have been a much longer trip. But Derech Klal, they would try to bring from as close as possible to Yerushalayim, because you want the barley to be as fresh as possible. But here they had no choice. Amar Rabbi Yosi, and the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabun or ben Bivun, pamachas yovsha Eretz Yisrael. Then there was also a time when there was a drought in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't know where they're going to get the wheat for the shtei alechem. The Bavli tells it as the same story. So in that case, it was the same time during the civil war of Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. And at the same time, again, there was a drought. Again, there was a mute man. He was putting one hand on his eye, and the other he was putting on the hole in the door that the bolt goes into. So again, they didn't know what he wants. I soon in the kamed of Psachia, so they brought him to Psachia. Omalahu, he asked them, "Is asav demikri ein socher? Demiskri ein socher? Is there a place called ein socher? Because that's what it is, ein for the eye and socher for the sichra, for the hole in the door." Oslo Taman, they went there, Vashkechon, and sure enough, they found. And the Yerushalmi goes on to tell, and the Yerushalmi over here in the Bavli and Menachos goes on to tell a couple of more stories that illustrate how Psachia was able to understand things that nobody else could. Next, Nechunya Choifer Shichin. So we said one of the ones in the Mishnah was Nechunya the ditch digger. So his specialty was Chaya Choifer Shichin Ma'aras. He was digging ditches and caves for them to store water, for them to be able to have. Again, they needed a large water supply for the Oiler Regal. Vahoya Yoda, Hey Dane Kaif Makor Maya, in particular, his specialty, he was a geologist. He knew what rocks will produce water, where if you dig and where if you drill in these rocks, you're gonna find a spring of water. The Hey Dane Kaif Isbe Shrav Ruvi. He also would know under what rocks you're going to find heat. Ba'ad mate hen shravuvuse, and how maya mate, and how far that heat extends, which tells us therefore how much water is going to come out of here. In other words, you have some places where the water will come out under where the water will come out under pressure. Sometimes that pressure is created by underground heat. So he was an expert in geology. So he knew this kind of thing to be able to figure out where is the heat underground over here, which is if we dig or we drill over here, then the heat is going to push up the water out of the ground. So he had a tremendous schus that he's providing water for all of the oiler regel. Nevertheless, Amar Rav Acha omes b'nei batzamo. Nevertheless, Nechunya's own son passed away of thirst. Because in other words, because the Eibishter is as the Gemara is going to go on to say, the Eibishter is medaktikim tzaddikim chod asayra. So even though, as the Gemara is going to go on to tell a different story with a chosid echad, now that his daughter was saved in the schus of his well digging, but here on the other hand we're saying, but on the other hand, the Eibishter is also medaktikim tzaddikim chod asayra, and therefore didn't save his son. So Omer Rav Chanina, says in this connection, Manda Omer Rachmana Vatran Hu. If a person thinks that Hashem is foregoing, in other words, a person is going to say, okay, so I did an Aveda, big deal. Hashem's a nice guy and he'll ignore it. Yivatrun b'nei me'av. A person like that, who talks like that, deserves that his kishkis should be let loose. Which can mean that he has diarrhea, or it can mean even Hakosev and Eitz Yosef over here both point out there's a Gemara in Chulin that talks about how carefully and how exquisitely the bnei me'ayim, all the kishkas, are arranged inside the body, such that the Gemara mentions if they come out for any reason, if a person is injured or something and they come out, they have to be put back in exactly the places they were, otherwise the person's not going to be able to survive. So now a person who talks like that about Hashem and says, oh, Hashem is willing to overlook things, Hashem doesn't care, then he deserves that his kishkas should be let loose and not put back in the proper order, meaning in other words that he's not going to have long to live. Because the point is, they shouldn't say that Hashem just overlooks. Hashem is patient. Hashem is erech apayim. The govi delay, but Hashem collects what's coming. In other words, the problem with saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran Hu is it's gonna lead people to think, okay, so you did an Aveira, big deal. It's not so bad. No, realize that an Aveira is a very, very serious thing. Elamai, the Eibishter gives you. The Eibishter is erech apayim, and he gives you lots of opportunities for tshuva. But eventually, the govi delay, eventually the Eibishter is going to collect what's coming. If a person doesn't do tshuva, then there's going to be an oinish. And if not, then if he does do tshuva, then zdonis nasin loy kishgogus or kizochius, as the case may be. In this connection, Amar Rav Acha, see, the pasuk says, Sviva nisara ma'oy. The pasuk says, around Hashem is very nisara. The simple meaning of nisara is maloshin sa'ora, means a storm. But it means Sa'ara Maloshana hair, medaktikimam, kachot asaira. Those who are around Hashem, those who are close to Hashem, the tzaddikim, Hashem is particular with them to a hair's breadth, meaning, as we know, the kinds of averus that Hashem might say by a regular person, fine, you know, Hashem will, so to speak, make excuses for him, but by a tzaddik, there's no excuses. But Rabbi Yossi says it's not really because of that pasuk, because after all, the word sa'ora in that pasuk doesn't necessarily mean a hair; it means a storm. Elamin dichtiv. Rather, you have a different pasuk expresses the same point. The noro who are called sviva. Hashem is awesome over all of those who are close to him. Meaning the noro whom in akrovim Yosef menorachokim. So Hashem is feared and awed by those who are close to him, by the tzaddikim, more than by those who are far away. The famous mashal that's always given for it is like a pure white shirt where even the tiniest stain on it makes a difference, as opposed to a colored shirt. It's not going to be as noticeable. So we're talking about tzaddikim, right?
Simple person can say the Eibishter is a vatran.
So even a simple person shouldn't say the Eibishter is a vatran. We're saying though that what we'll say is that the Eibishter is more willing to accept. Okay, you know, I understand you made a mistake. I understand you had a yetzahara, you had a whatever. So I'm more willing to accept your tshuva even for example a while later. Whereas for example by Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, no matter what, you hit the rock, nothing doing. Al Hashem al tambi, and then that's it. Yeah. Yeah, so we're saying, in other words, by tzaddikim is even more so, but even by a regular person, he can't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran Hu. Eitz Yosef brings a point over here from Sifri Musar that, you have to ask, it's normal, a person with good midas should be a Vatran. Why taka shouldn't the Eibishter be? We find, for example, Iyah Vatran Mamoina Hoya, should the Eibishter be any less than that? And the answer is basically that the Naveda creates a pgam in the world, and therefore something has to happen as a result of that pgam. Either the person does tshuvah and fixes up the pgam, or, as the pasuk expresses it, Chatoim Teradif Ra, a person's own Averas are going to chase after him and pursue him, and he's going to be in trouble because of them. So in other words, for the Eibishter to be a Vatron in that sense would be like to say that this pagam doesn't mean anything. And what do you mean? It means a great deal. So the Gemara goes on. It happened with a certain chosid who used to dig boris shichanim oris, various kinds of water pits for passersby. So this is not the same nechunya choifer shichin as in the Mishnah, because that one was, first of all, that one was in the time of the Bais Mikdash. Here we're going to say this was in the times of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, who was a couple of generations after. The Bavli has Rav Pinchas ben Yair as a, and in Shabbos has Rav Pinchas ben Yair as Rav Shimon ben Yochai's father-in-law. The Zohar has him as a son-in-law. Right, I think actually I have that the other way around. Whatever. Before we should discuss which one the ben Yehoyada in fact corrects the Gemara to match the Zohar. Whatever the case, he's in the generation of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, which is sometime after the Churban. So this Chosid Echad of our story over here is not the same as Nechun Yochai for Shichin. He was a different Chosid Echad who was taking on himself to supply water for thirsty Jews. The Bavli actually, when it tells the story, does tell it about Nechun Yechoy for Shichin, and instead the tzaddik in the story is not Reb Pinchas ben Yair, but rather Reb Chanina ben Dosa, who Taka lived still in the time of the Bais Mikdash. Anyway, so it could be the story happened twice. Anyway, his daughter was passing by, she was on her way to get married, the shot for Nahar, and a river swept her away. So everybody thought she had drowned. So everybody was coming to the Chosid Echad's house. They wanted to be menachem over him that his daughter passed away. He didn't want to accept the tanchumen, which in fact there was good reason for it. Taka, you know, al derech, like it says by Yaakov Avinu, that vayimoyin leisnachen, because subconsciously he realized that Yosef is still alive, and a person doesn't accept tanchumen over those who are alive. But nevertheless, people were wondering. Omer lahoin. And so, I skipped the line. Oda Pinchas ben Yair legabe. So the Pinchas ben Yair came to visit him to be Menachem Avol. Boy Menachamte, and the Pinchas ben Yair is also trying to be Menachem Avol. V'lo kibul aloy leisnachema, and he still didn't want to accept the nichumen. Omer lahoin, so the Pinchas ben Yair says to the other people, Dein hu chasid choin, as uichmer a chosid. What kind of a chosid is that that he's not willing to accept the Eibishter's judgment? So they told him, Rebbe, this is what he's always doing. He's always digging ditches and wells and pits for people to be able to have water. And this is what happened to him, that his daughter was drowned. Omar, so the Pinchas ben Yair says, Efshe have a machabed bore b'mayim. Could it be possible that he's honoring the Eibishter with water, the kipche b'mayim, and he would be cut off with water, that his daughter would be drowned in water? Now, the difference is, so before we should talk about, so what about Nechunya and his son? So one point is, Nechunya's son passed away from a lack of water. That's different than over here, that the actual water itself should be the cause of her death. That, Reb Pinchas ben Yair says, can't be. Miyad nofla havora ba'ir. Right away, there was a commotion in the city. And the daughter came. She had been saved from the flood, after all. Some say that she held on to a sichta, which would be how Kosev explained, means a branch, and Eitz Yosef says it means a peg, whatever, like she grabbed onto it or snagged onto it or whatever, and was saved that way. The ikadami malach yored bin Musra Pinchas ben Yair veitzila. Others say a malach in the form of her Pinchas ben Yair came down and saved her in the schus of her father. The Bavli, when it tells over the story, tells it with a number of different details. Tells that she fell into a big pit that her father, that Nechun Yechoy for Shichin, had dug. And that people come to Reb Chanina ben Dosa, and the first hour he tells them she's still okay, she hasn't drowned. The second hour she hasn't drowned. The third hour, by which time there's no way she could have survived, he tells them she's gotten out safely. Afterwards, they ask her what happened. They say, she tells them an old man with a ram, accompanied by a ram, came and saved me. That was Avram Avinu, accompanied by the ram from the Akedah, and it represents, because Nechunya had been doing such chesed always for Jews, digging these wells and everything, that therefore that schus saved his daughter. And when they asked Reb Chanina, are you a Novi or something? How do you know when she's safe? And when she got out, he tells him, Novi Anochi, Ben Novi Anochi. But again, yeah, it's not possible that the very water that he did such chesed to Jews for, that his daughter should drown in it.
Is this in the Bavli?
In the Bavli, it's in Yevamos and in, I think, in Tainus.
We did Tainus,
yeah. So I don't remember actually if it's in Tainus. It's definitely in Yevamos. It's also someplace else, but yeah. So the next one in the Mishnah was Gvini Koros, Gvini the announcer, and he was called that. So Yamachu is Bevis Mikdash. He would make the announcements in the Bevis Mikdash. Maho Yomer, he would call out, Imdu Akoinim La Avoida, Koinim, get up and be ready for your Avoida, or Leviim Luduchonim, Leviim, be ready for your Duchon, to sing and play the instruments in the Bevis Mikdash, Vyisrael, Mamadam, and Yisraelim, be ready for the Maimon. So Agrippa Samelach, Shoma Kola Berichuk Shmona Parsois. One time Agrippa Samelach, was a few of a couple of decades before the Churban, heard Gvini's voice from 8 parsa away. Now parsa is somewhere between 2.5 and 3 miles. So you're talking about something like 15 to 25 miles. The Nosan Lematonas Haben, he was so impressed that when he came to Yerushalayim, he gave Gvini a lot of presents. Mind you, there's actually a Gemara in the Bavli and Yuma mentions that Gvini's voice could be heard from 10 parsa away, but here we're saying that Agrippas happened to be 8 parsa away and hear it. Next, Ben Bevai Alafakia, we said, no microphone, exactly. Ben Bevai Alafakia, again, Shoy Mizaiga Sapsilis, he was in charge of matching up the wicks, meaning, in other words, cleaning the material for the wicks and making them that they should do the job and they should burn well. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Rabbi Yossi Ola Kufri, Rabbi Yossi one time visited the city of Kufri, Boy Lamamni Alohin Parnosim. He wanted to appoint certain people as Parnosim on the Tzibur, as leaders, whether Rabbonim or Rosh HaKohol or whatever, Volei Kablin Alehin, those people who he nominated for that did not want the job. So Rabbi Yossi started explaining to them, listen to what it says in the Mishnah, Ben Beve Alapakia. Umma im zesh l'nismana el alapsilis. Consider this guy, Ben Bevai, is only in charge of making the wicks for the Bais HaMikdash, not l'chora, such an important thing. Zocha l'monism g'doy l'adur, and yet he has the schus to be listed in the Mishnah together with Mordechai and together with other great tzaddikim. Atem shatem ismana l'chayin afoshes. So you who are going to be in charge of lives, because you're going to be responsible for the kohol, l'koshekin, how much more so that you should accept the job when you're suitable for it. B'chlal, the Gemara talks about that the same way as, for example, a person has to be careful when he's not roi lohira to not take on himself to be moi lohira, but on the other hand, when he is roi and there's nobody else who is, then he shouldn't do false humility or whatever. He should take it on. Incidentally, as far as the wicks for the Bais HaMikdash, there's a famous thing that says about Devorah that her husband, she's Ashes Lapidus. Why is she called Ashes Lapidus? Because her husband was an Amoritz. So she tells him, you should have, at least you don't have the schus of learning Torah, at least you should have the schus of making wicks for the Mishkan. And he did, and for that is why she herself became a Nevi'ah in the schus of that she was Ma'orah her husband to do that mitzvah. Okay. Yomiyem Mashiach Ge'ola. For Dalad Tishrei, we have the avoda of Kol Yemei Chayach Lahavi L'Moisa Mashiach, that every moment has to be focused on bringing Mashiach. That could be, and it has to be, even at this moment. That means that we arouse ourselves with a strength that comes from the Etzem HaNeshama by adding one more mitzvah. And as the Rambam famously says, that you have the world is exactly half balanced, or at least you have to consider it half balanced, and you do one mitzvah. And Chriyas Kol Olam as himself and the whole world, L'Kaf Schus, and he brings for everybody true of Atzalom. This is not even talking about when we're talking about high-level things that have to do with yechida, like Torah Sachsid, like learning and spreading Torah Sachsidus. This is even, and even more mainly, in Yonim Pshutim, for example, giving a yid's gashmiistika needs that have to do with him having a neshama beguf. So that's the kind of one mitzvah that can tip the scale for the entire world. Some halachas of Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So Aseres Yemei Teshuva, as the name indicates, is days for Teshuva. A person has a responsibility during that time before Yom Kippur to do tshuva, as we said in today's Haftarah, Dirsha Hashem Bihimotzei, and Bihimotzei, when is Hashem most easily, readily found, is during these 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So a person has to make a cheshbon anefesh and go through, and especially if he has a sofek avera, he needs more tshuva than a vade avera, because a person has a vade avera, sure, he feels bad about it, but a person has a sofek avera, he's going to start rationalizing, it probably wasn't really an avera, and we find taka by an oshem toloi that has to be worth a lot more than it has to be. The Gemara makes a calculation, it has to be worth like 96 times what a chatas would be, it has to be worth 2 sloyim, as opposed to a chatas could be worth only a ma, and if you make the calculation, it comes to 96 times as much, and the same idea, because in other words, an oshem toloi, a person needs a greater degree of tshuva for. He brings from the Ramak of it. So a person has to increase in Torah and mitzvahs and tzedakah and then not do as much business. In fact, brings from the Ramak that a person should treat these days of Aseres Metrova like Chalamoyed, only do the necessary kinds of malacha, and then especially to fix up things by Naram Lachavere, because as we know, in Yom Kippur Mechaper, actually, that's Chavere.
Stress.